Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. Before we begin the reading of the June 18th paper, we're going to go back to last week's as there was a story we didn't get to, and of course, we did not get to do the obituaries. So first, from the Ford County Chronicle of June 11th, ex-coach and teacher arrested on sex abuse charges, Dinkins, 38, charged with 6 felony counts, awaiting transfer from Georgia. Gibson City. A former Gibson City Melvin Sibley coach and teacher was arrested Thursday in Georgia on a warrant charging him in his Ford County with 6 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse for alleged sexual activities with a high school student. Robert L. Robbie Dinkins, a 13-year employee of the GCMS school district who was fired by the school board in April from his positions as an 8th-grade math teacher and coach of the 8th-grade boys basketball and boys track team and the GCMS Fisher varsity soccer team, was arrested in Macon, Georgia, and will be transported to the Ford County Jail in Paxton to wait an appearance before a judge, Gibson City Police Chief Adam Rosendahl said in a news release Friday. The case is being prosecuted by an attorney for the Illinois State's Attorney's Appellate Prosecutor's Office, Rosendahl said. Dinkins, 38, remained Monday morning in the Bibb County Jail in Macon, Georgia. That would have been Monday, June 9th. In a letter to GCMS families Friday, Superintendent Jeremy Darnell said Dinkins was given the opportunity to turn himself in prior to arrest on pending criminal charges and did not do so. Darnell said the district had been cooperating with law enforcement in their criminal investigation into Mr. Dinkins while completing its own as well via a third-party investigator, attorney Stephanie Jones of the Kriabuchik law firm. To protect the privacy of students and maintain the integrity of the investigation and legal proceedings against Mr. Dinkins, we were not and are not able to share information about the investigations, Darnell said. Rosendahl said an investigation by Gibson City Police revealed that there was data to support Mr. Dinkins having participated in sexual activities with a high school age student. An arrest warrant was obtained Wednesday, said Rosendahl, who declined further comment. According to a statement of charges against Dinkins that resulted from GCMS's initial third-party investigation and led to Dinkins' April 23rd firing, Dinkins maintained inappropriate relationships with students, repeatedly crossing the boundaries between employee-student to such an extent that the parents of the students perceived his action as the grooming of these children for sexual abuse. That included claims that Dinkins spent time with students one-on-one and alone, both at school and at his home, and communicated with them via text outside of the school day, sometimes about his own or their own personal matters. You look at these actions despite all staff receiving specific training on grooming and what could be perceived as grooming on August 21st and 2024 and August 16th, 2023. The school board statement of charges said. Dinkins was placed on paid administrative leave on April 4th, 5 days after the probe into his conduct began. On March 30th, Gibson City Police met with concerned parents of a GCMS student who claimed that their child had been receiving concerning text messages from Dinkins. Police later executed a search warrant at Dinkins' residence where they seized his phone and other electronics. As part of the investigation, several interviews were conducted and a forensic analysis of his phone was completed. Darnell said in Friday's support letter that support would be available to students, families, and staff impacted by this situation. We recognize that this situation can have an emotional impact on children, family, and staff, Darnell said. We have partnered with Care Solace, a mental health support company, to provide support services to our students and their families. Should your family need support, please reach out to any of the following district personnel, and we can connect families with these services. Our number one priority is, and always will be, the welfare, safety, and education of our students. It is important that all students know that if they are ever scared or hurt by someone, they should always feel comfortable telling a teacher, principal, or other school adult who will help them. If you have questions, please reach out to me directly. Dinkins declined to comment to the Chronicle last month about the allegations against him. Now, the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle from last week, June 11th. Linda S. Armstrong, Sibley. Linda S. Armstrong, 80, of Sibley, died at 4:10 a.m. Tuesday, June 3rd, at the Fairview Haven Nursing Home in Fairbury. Funeral services were held Friday, June 6th, at the St. John's Lutheran Church in Sibley, followed by a burial at Mount Hope Cemetery in Sibley. Memorial contributions may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church or the Fairview Haven Nursing Home's Activity Fund. Katie Burschowski, Paxton. Catherine Marie Katie Burschowski, 41, of Paxton, died Monday, June 2nd at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were at 10 a.m. Saturday, June 7th at Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton, with the Reverend Brian King officiating. Memorials may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital or OSF Children's Hospital of Illinois in Peoria. Glenn W. Genzel, Buckley. Glenn William Genzel, 89, of Buckley, died at 1:13 p.m. Saturday, June 7th, at his home. Funeral services were held Thursday, June 12th, at St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley, with the Reverend Jeff McPike officiating. Burial followed in St. John's Cemetery in Buckley. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley. Gigi Jarbo, Loda. Gigi Jarbo, 61, of rural Loda, died at 8:26 a.m. Sunday, June 8th, at her home. A mass of Christian burial was held Friday, June 13th, at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Paxton, with Father Jose Caducunnell officiating. Burial followed at Glen Cemetery. Paul Vernon Ogle, Rantoul. Paul Vernon Ogle, 92, of Rantoul, died Saturday, May 24th, at Reflections Memory Care in Rantoul. A private burial service will be held later in June. Memorials may be made to the Paxton Church of Christ or the Champaign County Humane Society. Earl John Rust, Buckley. Earl John Rust, 90, of rural Buckley, died at 9:05 p.m. Wednesday, June 4th, at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Funeral services are held Monday, June 9th, at St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley, with the Reverend J. Kevin Wyckoff officiating. Burial followed in St. John's Cemetery, Buckley. Memorials may be made to St. John's Church in Buckley or an organization of the donor's choice. Connie Shepherd, Paxton. Connie Shepherd, 76, of Paxton, died at 2:40 p.m. Thursday, May 29th, surrounded by her family and one close friend. A celebration of her life was held Sunday, June 8th, at the Bible Baptist Church in Rantoul. Cremation rites were accorded. The family requests that memorial donations in her honor be made to the Bible Baptist Church of Rantoul. Wilma Smith, 92, of Paxton. Funeral services were held Sunday, June 8th at the Church of Christ, with graveside services following at Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Memorials can be made to the Church of Christ in Paxton or Transitions Hospice. Carl W. Welch, Sibley. A celebration of life for Carl William Welch, 58, of Sibley, formerly of Greenup, Kentucky, was held Saturday, June 14th at St. John's Lutheran Church in Sibley. Mr. Welch died Monday, November 11th, 2024, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Now, turning to the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, June 18th, we find on the front page the long article that we read last week and district's investigation into allegations nearly complete. Paxton. President of the Paxton-Buckley Lotus School District's teacher union told the school board on Wednesday, June 11th, that a Chicago law firm enlisted by the district to investigate claims of sexual misconduct by suspended teacher Rod Pacey was nearly finished with its work. Amy Johnson, a second-grade teacher who serves as president of the PBL Education Association labor union, asked the board and community as a whole to remain patient as the process plays out. This specific firm was selected to ensure objectivity and fairness, which is undoubtedly necessary, said Johnson. This selection permitted our district to preserve neutrality and further limit the influence of Ford County local politics, dynamics, and personal relationship. I, as the president of the PBL-LEA, place my steadfast trust in the facts, facts that are verifiable and are not just opinions, conjecture, or hearsay. Once the district's investigation is complete, both Pacey and the involved complainants will rightly have the opportunity to review the outcome of the investigation and appeal the resulting decision should they believe there was a mistake in the investigation that impacted the decision, Johnson noted. Johnson stressed that appropriate processes are in place to ensure transparent and fair procedures. After all, that is why we trust our district, Johnson said. We are fair, we are transparent, and we are methodical. What is not appropriate, however, is to hold personnel discussions in a public forum before the investigation has concluded and any verdict has been reached. It is not appropriate to call for decisions without the benefit of a completed investigation. I trust that this board will act and behave responsibly and professionally, and I sincerely hope that this community will do the same. Let the facts lead. Let the process work. Let fairness guide us all. Johnson's comments came a month after the board was urged during its May meeting to hold administrators accountable for not promptly suspending Pacey and notifying the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services of numerous claims of sexual assault and grooming. On Friday, June 6th, a lawsuit was filed in Ford County Circuit Court alleging that Pacey inappropriately touched numerous female students over the course of more than a decade and that administrators repeatedly ignored the students' claim of abuse. As of this week, Pacey was also being investigated by law enforcement but had not been criminally charged or arrested. Pacey remained on paid administrative leave as a STEM and technology teacher at Clara Peterson Elementary School, where he is paid an annual base salary of $53,179, according to online district records. A former head PBL junior high school cross country and girls track coach, Pacey has denied any wrongdoing. While no further action was taken regarding Pacey's employment Wednesday, the board did vote to accept the resignation of Travis Dooley as district superintendent effective June 30. The pending lawsuit, filed on behalf of a former student, a parent of a former student, and a parent of a current student, names Dooley as a defendant, along with four others: Pacey, the school district, former superintendent Cliff McClure, and PBL junior high school principal Josh Didier. The 14-count lawsuit seeks more than $50,000 in damages for each count. Dooley, who has been superintendent since July 1, 2023, when he replaced the retired McClure, did not attend Wednesday's board meeting. Filling in for Dooley was Assistant Superintendent Tara Chandler. Meanwhile, Didier was present. The board's next regularly scheduled monthly meeting is at 6 p.m. Wednesday, July 9th. Now, from the Paxton City Council, a language okayed for backyard chicken ballot question. Also, council approves donations to a new local marketing campaign, Fall Festival, and Land Bank. Paxton. Paxton City Council on Tuesday, June 10th, approved the language for a non-binding referendum that will appear on the next primary election ballot on March 17th, 2026, asking Paxton voters if they feel the city should allow backyard chickens. The unanimous vote came a month after the council, during a joint meeting of its community committee and license, permit, zoning, and insurance committee, voted to pursue the advisory question and have City Attorney Tony Schuring draft potential options for its language. Schuring presented three options to the council for its consideration. Option 1. Shall the City of Paxton in Ford County, Illinois, enact an ordinance allowing and regulating the keeping of backyard chickens within the city? Option 2. Shall the City of Paxton amend its code of ordinances to allow for the keeping of backyard chickens within the city to be subject to restrictions set forth by ordinance? And option 3. Shall the City of Paxton amend Section 92.42 of Chapter 151 of Appendix A of its Code of Ordinances to allow for the keeping of poultry in the city to be subject to restrictions set forth by ordinance? Alderman Joe Reinhart said he preferred option 2 since it may be the clearest to potential voters. After some brief discussion, the other four aldermen present, Eric Evans, Dean Geiken, Mike Wilson, and Justin Withers, agreed. Absent were Alderman Matt Greenberg, Kristen Larson, and Rob Pacey. Unfortunately, I don't think there's a significant difference between the choices, one way or the other, Schuring told the alderman before the 5-0 vote to select option 2. It's just, which one are you more comfortable with? With the deadline to certify the advisory ballot question still months away, with Schuring saying he believes the deadline is 68 days from the election, and with three aldermen absent from the meeting, Geiken initially suggested the possibility of postponing a vote on the ballot question until July to allow for the absent aldermen to weigh in too. However, those present ultimately agreed to move forward anyway. Reinhart stressed that although the ballot question is only advisory, meaning it is non-binding, the results will not be ignored by the council. Just as Wilson said last month, Reinhart noted that if a clear majority of voters are in favor or against the idea of backyard chickens, he expects to vote accordingly once the council eventually considers whether to amend the city code to allow them. I can't speak for everybody, but I think we're putting it to the voters because we've had so much discussion on both sides that we can't really come to a conclusion as to what the right thing is to do. So I think if it gets to the point where it's voted in favor, I can't see myself voting against something after we've done all this process and then everybody's voted in favor. I can't see myself voting against that, said Reinhart. If the council were to allow backyard chickens, the proposal would first need to go before the city's Planning and Zoning Commission at a public hearing, Schuring said. While numerous nearby communities already allow backyard chickens, they currently can only be kept in Paxton if they are at least 150 feet from any home, church, school building, or public way, according to city code, restrictions that make raising them impossible on most residential properties. Before pursuing the non-binding referendum, Larson suggested the council amend the code to allow for backyard chickens via a permitting process. She suggested that rules be set to require that chicken coops and runs be at least 30 feet from neighboring homes and fully enclosed within a fully fenced-in backyard. Larson also suggested that the city appoint an urban chicken educational liaison to assist the police with enforcement of the rules if we feel the pressure on them would be too great. Meanwhile, resident Rebecca Rutledge noticed last month that compliance with city rules is already a problem, as some residents are apparently keeping chickens despite not being allowed to do so under the existing city code. Proponents of backyard chickens, though, stress that they want to do it legally within the established rules and expect others will, too. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, June 18th. Wendy Jean Davis, Rantoul. Wendy Jean Davis, 63, of Rantoul, formerly of Paxton, died at 4:42 a.m. Saturday, June 14th at her home. A memorial service will be at noon Saturday, June 28th at Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton with the Reverend Deborah Domeyer officiating. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon Saturday, June 28th at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to the Society for Hooved Animals Rescue and Emergency in Dewey or an organization of the donor's choice. Stephen C. Geisler, Gilman. Stephen C. Geisler, 72, of Gilman, died Saturday, May 31st at the Citadel of Kankakee. A private graveside service was at Benton Township Cemetery in Piper City, with the Reverend Jim Harkins officiating. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Thomas E. Harrison, Paxton. Thomas Eugene Harrison, 82, of Paxton, died at 1:20 p.m. Sunday, June 8th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made to the Evangelical Covenant Church in Paxton. Shirley R. Hinton, Mansfield. Shirley R. Hinton, 95, of Mansfield, died Sunday, June 15, at the Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Edna M. Huppert, in Gibson City. Edna M. Huppert, 90, of Gibson City, died at 5:22 p.m. Sunday, June 8th at Goldwater Care of Pontiac. Funeral services were held Monday, June 16th at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church in Gibson City. Burial followed in Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorials may be made to Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church in Gibson City or the Alzheimer's Association. Geraldine Gigi Jarbo, Lota. Geraldine Gigi Ganter Jarbo, 61, of rural Lota, died Sunday, June 8th after a long and courageous battle with cancer. Funeral services were held at 10 a.m. Friday, June 13th at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Paxton, followed by a graveside service at Glen Cemetery in Paxton. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to St. Mary's Catholic Church's Council of Catholic Women, the United Community Fund of Paxton and Vicinity, or St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Sarah E. Lange, or Lange, L-A-N-G-E, Gibson City. Sarah E. Lang, 61, of Gibson City, died Monday, June 9th at Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City. No services will be held at this time. Rosetta E. Madara, Paxton. Rosetta Evelina Rose Madara, 88, of Paxton, died at 7:47 p.m. Thursday, June 12th at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton on Pells with her granddaughter Ashley at her side. No services will be held at this time. Memorials may be made to the Paxton American Legion Prairie Post number 150. Donna May Meister, Normal. Donna May Lambert Meister, 77, of Normal, died Thursday, June 5th at the Carl Broman Medical Center in Normal with her family by her side. A memorial service for her and her late husband David Meister will be at 2 p.m. Friday, June 20th at Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. on Friday, June 20th at the funeral home. Interment will follow the service at Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorial contributions may be made to the family. Scott Odell Rettig, Rankin. Scott Odell Rettig, 66 of Rankin, died at 6:03 p.m., Saturday, June 7th, at his home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Dale E. Ruick, Gibson City. Dale E. Ruick, 61, of rural Gibson City, died Saturday, January 11th, in Gibson City. A memorial visitation will be from noon to 1 p.m. Friday, June 27th, at Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, with military rights accorded. Memorial contributions may be made to the Midwest Veterans Homeless Shelter or Samaritan's Purse. Jeffrey Allen Wade, Clinton. Jeffrey Allen Wade, 57, of Piper City, formerly of Maroa, died at 10 p.m. Tuesday, June 10th at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Harley Yancey, Fitzgerald, Georgia. Harley Yancey, 82, of Fitzgerald, Georgia, formerly of Paxton, died Monday, June 2nd at her residence. Funeral services were held Saturday, June 7th at Arbor Baptist Church in Fitzgerald, Georgia. We return to the news with news of the Ford County Fair, June 22nd to 28th. The fair opens Sunday. In addition to Friday night concert, it'll include a demo derby, a pageant, and a carnival. Melvin. The Ford County Fair in Melvin kicks off Sunday, June 22nd, and runs through Saturday, June 28th, featuring some old favorites as well as the continuation of new events from last year. On Sunday, June 22nd, the fair opens with a Western Horse Show at 10 a.m. A Jackpot Guilt Show starts at 5 p.m. that day. Monday, June 23rd, Monday night features the annual Queen Fair Queen Pageant at 7 p.m. in the Dance Building. Four young ladies are vying for the title of Miss Ford County 2025, Natalie Alberly of Gibson City and Charlie Ulrich, Aubrey Sawyer, and Kaylee William, all of Paxton. The new Miss Ford County will participate in a variety of events during the fair and throughout the county before competing for the title of Miss Illinois County Fair Queen in January. Tuesday is family night with a number of activities planned for the entire family, including the kitty tractor pull, a magic show, face painting, and more. Teachers get into the fair free on Tuesday with a valid teacher ID. It's also armband night on the midway, where the first 400 people can buy an armband for $15, allowing the purchasers to ride the rides until the carnival closes at 10 p.m. After that, armbands will cost $25. Armbands go on sale after 5 p.m. Wednesday, June 25th and Thursday, June 26th. Wednesday is the first of two evenings of tractor pulls in the grandstand. Firefighters and first responders get into the fair free with a valid ID on Wednesday night, and active military and veterans get into the fair free on Thursday evening with a valid ID. Friday, June 27th. Friday is concert night. The concert is headlined by Gretchen Wilson and Dalton Davis. Tickets are available on the fair's website, FordCountyFair.org. General admission is $39 in advance, which includes ticket fees and taxes. Party pit tickets are $49. Prices increase the day of the concert. And on Saturday, June 28th, the Demolition Derby closes out the fair at the grandstand. On Saturday, June 28th, enjoy the music of 80s Bush in the Pavilion after the demo. Fair admission prices vary each day. Admission is on a cash. Admission is cash only, as are concert tickets purchased at the gate on Friday. For more information, go to FordCountyFair.org or check out the fair's Facebook page. And that's all the time we have for today's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.